for a time, to Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. Our study of Jeremiah is very relevant because of the world conditions, the global conditions in which we live, and they are not calming down at all. So, in the process, Jeremiah is trying to provoke Judah, Jerusalem, Benjamin, tribe of Benjamin, trying to get them to wake up. Nebuchadnezzar is going to destroy the city, temple, etc. And they are not eager to wake up at all. In fact, they are trying to kill Jeremiah in one count, as we shared together. Now, so here's Jeremiah, and he is continuing and doing his ministry, his service, to represent God's wonderful light in the darkness. And he went of five different warnings. Here in chapter 13, verses 1 through 11, we shared together that he went to the Euphrates River, buried his linen garment as it was made and unwashed and everything. And he buried that, and then he came back and unburied it, and it was rotten. And thus the message to Israel that they had a wonderful position, verse 11, as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man around the skin, waist and hips, so have I caused to cleave unto me, to be glued unto me, the whole house of Israel, and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, for a name, for a praise, for a glory. So Israel, the 10 tribes in the north, they are out of it. And now here's Judah in the south, and they are not paying any attention either. So both all, Israel thus, is losing out on the benefits. The relationship to God, to be so close to God, just like your cloth and your garments can be touched around your skin. God said Israel was around the skin of God, that close. It's that close to me. So wherever I go, it goes. Wow. So now, but Israel didn't get the message, didn't want to get the message, and that's why the garment was hidden, buried, uncovered, and rotten. And thus, as we share together in verse 7, then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the waistcloth from the place where I hid it. And behold, the girdle, the waistcloth, was marred, ruined. It was profitable for nothing. And thus, verse 9, Israel's great pride. God is going to, like the garment is marred, so is the pride of Israel going to be marred. The garment being close to the skin of Jeremiah, the garment wasn't anything. It was an ordinary linen garment. It was just who was wearing it that made it so valuable. And if the garment had gotten proud, make believe, and the garment said, I'm a wonderful garment, and see where I am around Jeremiah, then it would be exercising pride. So the garment now is ruined, unusable. And God is going to said, Israel got all proud about its position, its temple, and everything, and it had no right to be. God made all of that. And thus Israel vaunted itself in haughtiness and raised itself up in arrogance and pride, and it did that. And God is humbling them. And how is he going to humble them? Pretty soon, they're going to end up in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and the temple's going to be gone. They're going to be over near the Euphrates River, like their garment was. In Babylon, they're going to be in the middle of idolatry, and no temple, no sacrifice, no priesthood, nothing. You're going to be over there. You're good for nothing. You had a wonderful position. You threw it away. You don't have it anymore. It's useless. You're useless. And thus he gave them up to Babylon. Now that, you say, well, that's not everyone would have caught that illustration. Well, they're certainly going to get the next one in verse 12. Therefore, thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and wine, bottle, flask, jar, is what we're talking about here. Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Now, so the Lord Jeremiah goes and makes a statement to them, a statement that every bottle, jar, is going to be filled with wine. And they all know that. And I said, what a stupid thing to say to us. What a dumb thing to say. You must have more to say than that. And thus they said, to get that mood, do we not certainly know, verse 12, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? We know that. We understand all that. Why would you make such a dumb, simple statement to us? Now, they didn't, they sort of were going to write it all off. Now, Jeremiah, now that's a pretty direct statement, and they all can get that one. That's right. Now, Jeremiah, God is going to use Jeremiah to put it, to help them understand. So in Jeremiah chapter 13, picking up in verse 13, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. I'm going to make, like the jars, bottles will be full of wine. I'm going to have the populace of Judah and Jerusalem. I'm going to make the populace totally drunk. I'm going to fill them up with the wine. Like the jar is filled with wine, I'm going to have them full, deeply full, drunk, but not with wine. Now, and it's going to include, the lesson's going to include the everyone from the kings, priests, prophets, the people, all of them are going to be included. No one is going to be excluded. So Israel is rejecting God's mercy and grace. And are they going to anticipate what they were to understand about Nebuchadnezzar and the devastation that would take place in their land and to the people? Nope, they didn't want to receive that. So therefore, and they weren't going to enjoy, they refused to accept or even consider the experience and the enjoyment of that Moses had, Joshua had, David had, Jeremiah has, Ezekiel has. They aren't even going to consider that. They aren't going to do it. Now, and thus, and so the warning, so the bottles, the broken bottles, etc. Now, in the light of that, the people are going to be, as it were, inebriated. They're going to be caught up. And what does that fermentation do into yeast and that alcohol? What does that do? Well, that affects your mind and your mobility. And it causes all kinds of things to go wrong in all kinds of different ways. And it leads to other things besides that. to drugs and everything else, because we're looking for some out. And people are looking, I don't know why they do it, but they do it, of all the things that you would want to if you had your choice. I would think if you were going to have some kind of physical problem that was going to do a number to you, on you, I would think the one thing that you would want, the last thing you would want, I should say, would be to have your mind affected. The last thing, you do anything to the body, just give me a sense where I am alert and conscious and able to think rightly. I don't want to lose my thought process of all the things I could have happen. I don't want to lose that. And that's what drink does. Why do drink? Drugs. You have marijuana now, heroin. It's where's it going to stop? And, you know, without getting into that, in Revelation 9 and all that, you're going to have a what? In the tribulation, there's going to be, understandably, a large rise of drugs, usage of drugs. You're going to understand that. Wow. So now, having said that little bit, and in the light of that, and so God, you're going to go and they're going to be inebriated, all of them. And in the process, before we go, and by the way, you would want to remember in Galatians 5, so when you say drunkenness, that's what it is, the drunkenness, mind, movement and everything. Now, you know, you'd say, well, I don't drink. That's okay, that's good. Now, but in Galatians 5, in the verse 19, 20, 21, Galatians 5, one of the things that you and I house, we house all kinds of stuff. We may not express it, but we house it. So what do you know in Galatians 5 and 21? What do you know that's one of the items? A drunkenness. Now, where is that? That's in you. So you said, no, that's why we can do it. It's part of our, it's easy to pull out of us, anything like that, because it's in us. You can't pull it out of it, isn't in there. It has to be in there to get it. You can't get me to get drunk if I don't have that tendency, that problem within me to begin with in my flesh. And I have that. So I need to keep that in mind so I understand. And so the human heart, if you're going to go and try to solve and resolve all the things that are going on in our world right now, in your little world compared to the big world, all the things that are going on, and you try to resolve them, and you can resolve them by the flesh, and it has all of these characteristics to it, and you're going to resolve them by the flesh. And when you do, you're using your human reason to come up with your reasons for what you do, aren't you? It's how you think. I think as a human. I think with my flesh. And that's why the things come out like they do. You have to ask, why do they come out like this? Because that's how I think. I don't have God as a standard. I don't have His Word as a standard. Humans just have humans as a standard. That's why evolution's popular, Freudian psychology, all of this is popular, because we're humans. And we think and feel and fear, and then we come out with all kinds of things, and you say, where'd it come from? It came from my thought process. Now, so keeping that in mind, if you would, now here's all these judgments. The judgment's going to take place on Israel, on Jerusalem, and it's going to be a drunkenness, an inebriation, if you would. And you'll notice, please, if I can, in verse 13 again, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, I will fill the inhabitants of the land, etc., etc., etc. I will dash them, verse 14, I will dash them to break them, smash them, as it were, them, one against the other. So here's the, think of the enemy out here, and here's all the people. in the city, men, women, children, here they all are, and they're caught up in the emotional movement of what's happening. And it's like being inebriated. And your mind and your heart and your movement, the confusion, all of it's there. And God said, they are going to go. They aren't going to be rolling up their sleeves to charge Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to be fighting among themselves, which is understandable. They're going to be fighting among themselves as drunken people drinking. Wow. Verse 14, I will dash them one against the other, even the fathers and the sons together, the young and the old, saith the Lord, etc. I'm going to catch that in a minute. Now, over, if you would please, in the light of that, over in Jeremiah chapter 25, in chapter 25, picking up just the thing, God, are you going to let the whole thing, that's what, God lets the human heart get, he backs off and lets it just bubble up and do what it does. And therefore, chapter 25, verse 15, for thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send it to drink it. So Jeremiah is not only going to predict judgment on Israel, he's going to turn around to Egypt and Babylon, etc., and he's going to spin around, and you guys are all going to get drunk. You're all going to get inebriated. You're all going to do the same. Before you start saying, applauding Israel, see what happens to Israel. You better count to 10, because it's going to happen to you. Now, so thus, to cause, verse 15, all the nations of whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad, and to be in, lose control, that's the way to say that one, to lose control, Because of the sword, not the control, confusion. They'll be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation and an astonishment and an hissing and a curse, as it is this day, and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, etc. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 28. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thy hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, that's Jerusalem, and should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon the inhabitants, upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. So the judgment of Jerusalem is going to end up with the judgment of all nations who went after Jerusalem, who rejected the testimony of Israel and went to get them. So now, so here we are, and think of the prophetic, think of God's word. And in God's word, when you're trying to find a nation that's wholeheartedly with Israel as the ages close, it's hard to find one, isn't it? And we were one of them, but we aren't really anymore. And when the tribulation's on, no one is. And they have a false treaty with the Antichrist, and he isn't for them at all. So who's for Israel? God. But all the nations are against Israel. And when you're against Israel, you're against God. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here's Judah and Judah, Jerusalem, in the apostasy, in arrogance, and they're headed for destruction. Chapter 13 again. And in chapter 13, picking up if I can, in verse 15. And remember now, he's going to fill everyone. He's going to allow them to reap the deep, deep drinking. They're going to drink to the full. They're going to have a full jar, and they're going to have a full heart, and the heart is going to be full of all of that which is not good. Now, and I will dash them, I will break them into pieces as we shared together. Now, having said that, then, in verse 14, I will not, in verse 14, saith the Lord, I will not pity, the word to spare, that means to be mild, to have compassion. I'm not going to have compassion on them. Nor spare, the little verb to spare, to cover, to hide, to look at a thing with a view to protect it, to compassion, to hold it and preserve it, protect it. I am not going to, verse 14, I'm not going to pity, no compassion. I'm not going to hug them and hold them and protect them. I'm not going to do that. And thirdly, verse 14, I am not going to have any mercy. And that's intensive. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. And it means to attach oneself, to unite oneself. Remember, the garment is, in verse 11, the garment is wrapped around the skin. God said, I am not going to let that happen, not now. It's not going to happen. And not to have any mercy, to interest oneself in a person. Are you going to give them that special benefit and blessing? No, I'm not. They're not going to have that. In fact, verse 14, the end, but I'm going to end up destroying them. I'm going to cause them to be crushed, to be brought to ruins. I'm going to destroy them. Now, verse 15. Hear ye and give ear, ye. That's the first one. So they got the garment, and the garment's rotten, and they are going to end up, as far as being enjoying God, as a big zero. Now, and they're going to be judged as the whole nation, and they're going to be inebriated mentally, and they're going to go spiritually. And they're going to have a total, get beaten all up, and they're going to beat themselves up because they don't know what to do, and they aren't going to have any solution at all. They're going to be in great perplexity. Now, and so now, here we go, verse 15. Hear ye and give ear. Hear, it's a command. Be hearing and heeding, giving ear. Give your ear, pay attention. Verse 15. Hear and give an ear, give heed, pay attention. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. So that remember, the pride pushes it out of the way. For the Lord has spoken. Be not proud. So, and the word pride means to rise from the ground. A tree grows up high from the ground. And a person exalts himself, herself. Think of the garment again. The garment was in chapter 13, verse 9. The garment was proud. Israel, Judah was proud. We have the temple. We have God. And we're close to God. No one else is close to God like we are. And they claim something. That they were close. No, God made them close. They didn't make any of the blessing. Now, just think of you and for me. God tells us the wonderful fruit of the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace, and all that. And have that now. And all of those wonderful things, grace and mercy. But you know what? Most people don't even think about those things because they don't even feel they're available. But sometime we try to say, well, God will be merciful to me. God owes me this. God owes me that. and that, and we try to do that, and we try to claim something. The mercy, the grace, the peace, the joy, the love, that belongs to God. That doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to us at all. It's only as we rest in Him that we even come close to it, enjoy it. We don't have it. It isn't mine. It isn't yours. It's God's. So now, in there, they're proud, very proud, and God is going to, remember, mar the pride, verse 9. He's going to ruin the pride of Israel, their great pride. And here they are. It comes up again. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Don't be proud. Don't do that. And give glory. Don't be proud. Give glory to the Lord your God before He caused darkness, before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. While you look for light, He turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Now, just think, here's the illustration, third one. Here's the illustration. And the man, traveler, and he's going into the mountains, and it turns dusk, and then it gets darker and gloomier. And it isn't like walking on a straight field where it's just flat all the way. There's all kinds of nooks and crannies and everything. And it's dark. It's getting darker and darker and darker. That's what it said. It's going to go to dark, gloomy, and deep darkness as you travel. So here's Israel, and they're in the light. They're rejecting the light, God's grace to them, and they're going in the corridor down in the thing. It's dark. It's going to get darker. It's going to get very gloomy. It's going to be deep darkness. So, it's one thing for Nebuchadnezzar to be down the street. It's another thing for Nebuchadnezzar to be at the door. It's another thing for Nebuchadnezzar to be in the house. It's another thing for Nebuchadnezzar chopping apart your family, coming to you. It gets darker and darker and darker. Wow. So now, you're going to get, you guys, I told you what's going to happen. And they needed to go and look to God to rescue them and help them in every way that was possible. So now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would. Now, here we are looking at drunkenness and darkness. Drunkenness and darkness, they go together. Now, what do we know? Well, we know that John 1, verse 10, he was in the world and the world knew him not. He came to Israel, verse 11, they rejected him. And we know what, chapter 3, that they refused to receive the Lord as their Savior, verse 18, chapter 3. Why? Because they love darkness, what? Rather than light. So, am I looking for light? I am. Ah. But there's a way for us humans, to pull it off so we don't have to really answer it. And you know, Isaiah 5:20, you have to turn there. When people go and make good evil and evil good, secondly, they make darkness light and light darkness. And if you turn it upside down, I love darkness. What did you just say? I love light. I call darkness light. I love it. I love my label. I love how I'm doing it. So when am I going to get into the light? When is the light coming? But I'm set. My heart is set in darkness. So here's our world. Look at it out there. Here's all the countries of the world, as much as you understand them at this point, the religions of the world, the politics of the world, all of it's there. Now, in all of that, even in Israel, where is there seeking light? We have our religions, we have our politics, we have our programs, we have our nuclear this and nuclear that, and all these different things, our systems. That's because we're human, and we're going by humans. That's how we make our decisions. And we make them, and we're there. And do you understand? It's darker and darker and darker. No, it's light. If you can just believe my point of view, my philosophy, my religion, my Islam, whatever it is, it'll be good for you, right? Good for you. Shia law, whatever, all of that. It'll be good for us, and we think that because we call it light. And when we call it light, it's all right. So we can go even at the cost of lives, thousands of them, across the world. We can do it in the name of light, which is really darkness. And we do it. And we're comfortable. Are we headed to a light? Are we looking for light? No, we aren't. We aren't. We aren't. We aren't. When I come, will I find the body of truth residing in God's field? And the answer is no, it's not going to be there. People are not. They apostasy means zero. When I come, they've kicked me out of the churches. That's what do you have next? The ecumenical movement. You have all of that happen in darkness. And we mentally inebriated, we're getting drunker and drunker, as it were, that we're content with it. And we're content with it. And we're content more and more because we're distracted easily, more than ever before. You probably don't remember, I just give you the illustration for good or bad. Remember when television first came out and you got your first little set? And John Cameron Swayze would be on the news. I can tell you're all excited now. And back then, on our street up in Boston up there, and one of the families, we had lots of people, lots of kids, lots of stuff going on. And one of the families was able to buy one of those little sets like this, and they had it on, and us kids would go at night when it was dark, and we'd sneak up on the porch, and they didn't pull their curtain down, and we'd put our head into the window to see what was happening on that little square screen. Wow. And then we went home, and that was it. Now, you've got a little square screen. People carry it, and it's very hard to not be caught up in it. We're distracted all the time. We're pushing buttons, trying all different things, and we're doing it. We're caught. We're caught. Are we looking for light? And no, we aren't. We don't understand all tons of stuff, way beyond our ability to handle it mentally. But it's there, and we're caught. We're caught in it. So we're getting caught up. If you would, addicted, inebriated. We don't even know it. We don't even know it. And you don't know it. They put their phone next to their bed and they got to answer the phone four times during the first hour of the night from someone twittering them or something. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, in the light of darkness. And darkness is there, there's no question. So, over in the light of that, we've got to go now. I've got to switch something. Over, if you would please, to Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, and here we are, and God saves us in a most wonderful way. And in the process, In Ephesians chapter 4, you will please note, remember we're looking at darkness in particular at this point. And in darkness, what do we know? Well, God tells us all kinds of different ways. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, picking up in verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So, we understand, our mind, we have light. We can't read the words. We can't know the formula. We can't know anything if we can't see it in the normal realm. It's dark, and we can't see it. Our understanding. We can talk about all kinds of stuff, but then we're missing the main ingredient that puts it all together, and that's God. God is the only one that connects all the dots. We have lots of dots, and we're busy. The world's busy trying to connect them in all the mazes going all over the place. But we don't connect them. We always end up missing the point. We end up with no way out. We don't come out of the tunnel. And we're in the dark. Only God has all the dots and knows how to connect them. And if I leave him out, I can't connect the dots of my life. I can't do that. I don't have the way to do it. Now, so here's Ephesians. The understanding is darkened. And if you would, over it now, having said that, Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, picking up if I can, what are we supposed to do as believers? Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, that's right, but now are ye light in the Lord, therefore walk as children of light. So we ought to be able to walk, hang on to that, as children of light, not children of darkness. We shouldn't have to do that. And in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but whether reprove them. So people have all kinds of thinking, but we don't need to go along with it, and we don't even need to follow it. We can certainly give them courtesy to think whatever they want. But it isn't in the light, it's in the dark. It needs to be in the light. Chapter 6. In chapter 6, picking up, please, as you know, verse 12, in our armament, what do we need it for? Because we need to be clothed with light. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So here's all the darknesses there. And it's everywhere. And the way out of it, there isn't really a way out of it. It's just there. Now, God, you know, we're caught up in this, so we don't want it. We want to get out of it in the right way. And in the process, over to chapter 5. The drunkenness and the darkness. So God, I don't want to be in the dark. I want to be in the light. We're going to touch that. And we don't want to be getting some kind of drug or drink or anything else to get our mind to find somehow to think. No, what you do is bend your heart, and you're going to look to God if you're saved, and you're going to look to God to help you straightway, with as much sense and as much understanding as you have. That's what you're going to do. And to the degree and measure you don't have it, you're going to look to God anyway and ask and look to His help. It isn't your understanding, it's His understanding. It isn't your being able to put the pieces together, He is, puts the pieces together. So you're going to trust Him. And you can do that. You can be absolutely not very smart. and trust Him. And God knows, and God will take care. So there's no question. So we're going to go and look to God. And chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine. We don't need to get it that way. We're going to look to God. We don't need any help. We don't need to panic. We don't need to do that. We're going to look to God. And we don't need to get propped up and get some kind of thing to give us courage or strength or understanding. On the contrary, we don't want anything to interfere with who we are and what we have. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And so, God, we're going to look to you, because that's our assignment, to look to you. And you told us if any of us lack wisdom, we're to do what? We're to look to you. And God, you'd help us if we don't doubt and waver like the ocean, James 1, then I don't hear you. You either ask me and trust me or you don't. That's all. But we do, and then we don't. We do, we don't. God said, I don't hear you. Say, why don't I get an answer? Because you were doing this. And you can't do that. It won't work. And thus, all the benefits, verse 15, chapter 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and speaking, verse 19, that's we're going to look to you, God, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the middle of all of it, you always can say thank you, and God's delighted in being who He is, and we learn to be delighted. And remember the old thing in studying your Bible. You read it and study it until it sings to you. You read and study it until it sings to your heart. That's what you're waiting for. For it to sing to your heart. How about it? Wow. Now, so, in the light of that, if I may, over to two places. Romans chapter 13, I think. We sure didn't get very far tonight. I don't know. Romans and chapter 13. And if I may, chapter 13, picking up, going, if I can, to verse 11. 13:11 of Romans. Now, that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now was our salvation nearer than when we believed. There's no question about that. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Put on the whole armor of God against the rulers of darkness. How am I going to handle that? And verse 13, and walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. So God, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So God, here we are, we're going to walk, and we're going to put on the armor of light. I mean, how am I going to handle any of this? Men love darkness, and the world's in darkness, and everything around me is in darkness. All the philosophy, all the politic, all the religion, everyone's thinking is self-centered, isn't it? Even when you're a philanthropist, you're giving away for a reason. The reason you give your money, because I care. Who cares? You care. You're concerned. It's about us. No matter how we cut the cookie, it's all about us. So we have all kinds of ways to look good and feel good and come out not good, but we do them. Now, having said that, so God, here we are, and we do it. Now, how are we going to ever do that? Over, if you would, walk honestly. And on your way, we won't even stop there. Go over to 1 John. You know, I'm just going to give you, all I'm doing is trying to tell you to put the pieces together and make them work. Otherwise, you're going to hear a lot of stuff, but you never get it to work. Walk honestly. Okay. Put on the armor of light. Okay. Now let's see you do it. What are you going to do? You're going to go home and put on the armor of light? You don't even have a suit of armor at home, I bet you. Now what are you going to do? What are people going to do? That's what I asked myself. After you got that, what are you going to do? You walk out there. What are you going to do with that truth? What are you going to do with that nugget? Nothing. I'll bet you, if I was a betting person, I'd bet you a whole $1,000 for me to find somebody that does anything with anything. They just collect stuff and talk about that. They never put it to work, it seems. How do you know that? Because they aren't there. And where is it? Now, so John, here we are, God help us all, me. And John 1, we understand. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness. So therefore, if I'm looking to God, there's not going to be any darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with light, with him, and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not the truth. How can you have fellowship with God and be in the dark? You can't. You can't be in the dark if you're in the light. And thus, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. So God, all we're going to do is stay with you, looking, trusting, like the underwear around the waist, that they didn't want it. They didn't want to be like that. And believers, what do we have? We're more than anything they ever had. Way ahead of them. And so God, here we are. What are we going to do? Not a lot. We just read it in Ephesians 5, filled with the Spirit of God. Be thankful to your Father in everything. That's what you're going to do. How hard is that? What's complicated about it? What's so complicated? Nothing. It's wonderful. And so God, here's Israel, and they aren't exercising any of this. They're rejecting it all. And they're going to choose drunkenness and darkness. And that's what they're going for. That's what the world's going for. But you don't have to go for that. I don't have to go for that. And our country is going for darkness and drunkenness. But we aren't alone, so be of good cheer. Where isn't the mood and the movement to darkness and more darkness and more darkness? That's where it's going, not into light. So God, we want to have a heart that is fresh and full and overflowing with just your wonderful grace. So it isn't anything about your work, your home, your school, your health, your job, your family, your social, anything. It's about God's wonderful grace to you. Israel couldn't grab that. They got proud, very proud. Tried to make itself, myself, I can answer anything and think anything and understand anything. That's amazing if you can do that. Wow. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Perhaps we can go And you may have a particular prayer request. Remember our country, remember the world, remember Israel.